So, welcome back, the diehards. Well done. And this is the last day, all day. So, of course, it's 10 till 12 and then 2 to 4. So, looking forward to that. So, we'll start as we've been doing these last couple of days with a short relaxation, very strong positive motivation. Then the prayers, if you're happy to do the prayers. And then a review, and we'll continue from there. So taking a minute or so just to get yourself comfortable. Always remember comfort, relaxation. Most important, always start with that. Am I in a comfortable position? Do I need to move? Do I need to adjust my posture? Spend a minute or so doing that. Employing one of the short relaxation exercises, either the two-breath method, or simply just bring the mind inward, being aware of your breathing, nothing else, and allowing all tension to leave your body naturally on the out-breath. You do that for a few breaths, and then allowing your mind to lighten and brighten on a few in-breaths. And then breathe normally. So whichever one you're comfortable with in your own time to relax the body. When you're doing this, you can train yourself to notice a kind of calm alertness arising, a kind of calm alertness. If you're doing a short relaxation, and when this calm alertness arises, this is a good time to set a very strong positive motivation for today. So bring it to mind, a strong positive motivation. Use your analysis to create it. And once it's created, let the analysis go, focus. And then if you're happy to do the prayers, we can do the prayers. And when you're thinking of prayers, you know, how much prayers you do, what type of things you include in your motivational prayers, really is dependent on your understanding of the Dharma, how close your mind has become to bodhicitta. If you have taken refuge, and if you have a spiritual guide, all of this will inform the way you do your motivation prayers, how many prayers, what type of prayers. So don't take this as standard. This is a standard refuge in bodhicitta prayer. But you can create your own. Sange chadan soke chanam la janchu bardu dagni kyapsuchi Dagi jin so kepe so nang ki drola penchir sange drupar sho sange chudon so ke chunam la janchu bardu dagni kyapsu chi dagi jin so kepe so nang ki drola penchir sange drupar sho. I take refuge until I am enlightened in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my merits of listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all transmigrating beings. When you finish a prayer, don't just switch off. The feeling that prayer arouses, focus, just for a few seconds, but focus. So get in touch again with the relaxation. The posture. To help draw the mind inward, become interested in how your whole body is responding to each in-breath and out-breath. Each in-breath and out-breath. And now that your mind is drawn inward, you can begin to focus a little. So allow one part of your mind to gently scan your body. From the crown of your head to the tips of your toes, simply noting any areas of tension and continuing with the scan. And you sharpen your awareness and you notice that without any effort on your part, without any change in the rhythm of your breath, on each out-breath, the tension is flowing away from the body naturally on each out-breath. And as the tension continues to flow naturally from the body on each out-breath, you notice the changes. How smooth your forehead. How relaxed all of your facial muscles. How spacious the area around your eyes and between your eyes. And as you imagine a kind of internal smile, your jaw will naturally unclench. Your lips will just gently touch. You give you permission to your shoulders to shrug off a burden. Allow them to drop and be comfortable. Because you've reduced this type of internal tension, you can focus more now. So shift your focus to the area of the abdomen. Notice how your abdomen is responding to each in-breath and out-breath. Each in-breath and out-breath. This is always a safe place to return to when your mind's in turmoil. Being aware of the lifting and falling of the abdomen with the breath. Very safe place to be. Recognize how relaxed your body is. Keeping that relaxation, shift your awareness now to the in-breath. No change in respiration, simply in awareness. Notice that with each in-breath, your mind is becoming brighter. With each in-breath, your mind becoming sharp and clear. And with this balance of a relaxed body and a sharp mind, generate a positive motivation for this review meditation. And as before, make it clear in your mind and stabilize with it. Shifting your awareness now, bring to mind the real purpose of Buddhist meditation. Bring it to mind. What is the purpose of Buddhist meditation? And how can this positively affect your life experiences? Spend a minute or so being clear about this. What's its purpose? How does it positively affect my experience of life? Bring to mind clearly the difference between analytical and placement or stabilizing meditation How can I use these? Now, how can I employ this and benefit from a trusted program of study, such as the Lam Rim, although there's others? In what way do the two obstacles of excitement and dullness manifest in my mind during meditation? In my meditation, how do I recognize when my mind is excited or my mind is dull? And what do I do about it? We spent some time yesterday discussing and reviewing ways of dealing with pain and discomfort in meditation. What do you remember of that? What ways did we discuss? Strong analysis here, memory, intelligence, creativity, bring it all to play. Changing my posture may be useful. How confident am I to meditate in the four different types of posture the Buddha taught? How ready am I to honestly identify underlying causes of the discomfort? And how willing am I to deal with those underlying causes? Is it of benefit to understand how stress hormones work? And the way, particularly stabilizing meditation, can reduce and eliminate that and release endorphins? Is it worth you finding out about that, just doing a quick read to check? Would that give you confidence? How willing would you be to try something like yoga, Tai Chi? Because together with meditation, there is some evidence, good evidence, is very beneficial. How about scanning the body, identifying the area, breathing into the area, and releasing the tension, with or without visualization? Is it worth it to me to change my attitude to the discomfort and pain? From strong avoidance and fear to a tolerance, an acknowledgement with kindness, an acceptance. This is the first step on the road to separate the sensation of pain and discomfort from actual suffering of pain and discomfort. And never forgetting to use everything you can. No one wants pain. If you need to see a doctor, take medication, leave nothing out, explore it, find out the exact cause. Please reflect on the hollow body meditation we did yesterday and the body of light meditation. Try to bring it to mind. And with strong analysis, try to evaluate the possible uses of these meditations. Don't let your mind wander, bring it back. Strong analysis here.
Now bring to mind the purpose of dedication. Why is it important we don't just slip into meditation and slip out? What is the importance to you of dedication? Bring it to mind. And when that's clear, mentally gather the positive energy of this review and dedicate it to achieving your motivation. Then let everything else go and stabilize it with your mind. Just hold it gently with your mind. Thank you. So when you finish meditation, any meditation really, but particularly if you've been doing strong concentration or strong stabilizing, when you open your eyes, try not to move for a few seconds. You know, simply as you come out, open your eyes. And without moving your head, just gaze around you. Sometimes when the meditation has been quite deep, things do look a bit different. They can look a lot sharper. And it's less a shock to the nervous system. So after you've dedicated, just open your eyes fully. And without moving your head, just gaze around. Then after a few seconds, movement's not too bad. It's very helpful. It's very helpful. Okay. Thank you for that. So, homework. Some feedback on the homework. Yeah. You were asked to choose one meditation. You know, if you aren't too sure, use impermanence. And everything you've been taught, posture, analytical, single-pointed, but in particular, using the visualization techniques, the hollow body, body of light, see if that's useful. And also, if you had the opportunity to download from the Lion's Roar meditation, and there's a few there. The first one is the one I tend to use, but there's quite a few. And did you practice the meditation on walking? If so, how did it go? So the more people that speak back to me, the more time I have to finish my coffee. So that puts me in a great mood for the rest of the day. Just saying.
Hello, it's Carol.
Hi, Carol.
I have a question because unfortunately we missed yesterday. Could you just repeat?
I'm not hearing you well, Carl. Sorry.
Yeah, I'll come a bit closer to the left.
Oh, okay.
Is that better?
Yes, thank you.
I just was asking if you could repeat the walking meditation download for us because we missed what you said.
Yes, it's Lion's Roar, LIONS. ROAR, I think it's .com. And that takes you right into the page for the walking meditation. Excuse me one moment.
Amy's kindly put the link in chat, Carol. So if you click on that, you've got the link. It's in chat.
Excellent, thank you.
Oh dear, Right. So, who else would like to tell me how they got on with their homework?
Hi, Mary. Zoe.
Hi, Zoe.
I was just walking downstairs in my house from the bathroom to the front door, kept doing that. It made me realise how poor my balance is. I thought my balance was quite good, but actually, when you slow it right down, you realise how unstable you can become, don't you?
Yes, yeah. And when you first start, you tend to go as slowly as possible because there seems to be a lot to remember, a lot to focus on. And you see people of all ages sort of starting off like that. So I think initially the first few times go fairly slowly, but I think a reasonable slow walking pace is really the best, you know, so that you don't go off balance. But the first few times we all do that, right, definitely, because there seems so much to, oh, the heel, the toe, the lifting, you know, there seems to be a lot. But it's the same as if you're learning anything, you know. In the beginning, so I'm told, if you're learning to play the piano, it's very like, you know, and after a while it's like, it's like that. So we go slowly to start with, but yes, it can be, I've seen grown people who do like that. How did you get on towards the end of it?
Yeah, I suppose when I was going a little, not fast, but a little bit faster than very, very slow, the balance wasn't so bad. The other thing I was trying not to be, because at university we studied gait very, you know, quite a lot, and all the muscles.
You studied?
Gait, the walking pattern.
Right.
Yeah, so I was trying not to get distracted by the lectures that I could remember on the muscles and things like that. I was trying just to feel it instead of identify the muscles and things. So that was one of the issues I came up with, really, but something to work on.
Oh, good. It's just something to work on. And some people take, within the Tibetan Buddhism, there's not a lot of emphasis on walking meditation. They're very, very, very into sitting down, right? Very much into sitting down. Other types of Buddhism really heavily emphasize walking meditation, but it's like everything else. If you understand the four postures, there'll be times when each of these postures are so beneficial. Learn the four. And once you learn how to do a walking meditation, and you're doing something else, I don't know, you're doing some sort of emptiness meditation, whatever, and you just can't get hold of it and you want to go out for a walk, right? Then you go out for a walk and you walk slowly and carefully, right? With setting your motivation, walking slowly and carefully, and then you meditate while you're walking. So, you know, we should learn all of it. Even standing meditations. You know, but, if you're sitting and you just, it's enough, but you don't want to break your meditation, then if you can get up easily and stand, what we used to call the tree position, but yoga maybe has a different name for it, but standing, well-balanced, and just continue. Nothing to stop you. And if you feel that you're just too tense, lying down. So, thank you for that. Anyone else? Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Mary. Hi, Fenmary. Thanks very much for sharing that link, because I really appreciated, enjoyed that, because I do a lot of walking meditation.
Yeah.
But I think when I've learned, it's been much more just kind of just walk, like same sort of distance and same sort of pace, but just being aware fully of the motion, whereas breaking it down like that I found very helpful to actually do more sort of focus and concentration. And I found my mind actually doing something quite different than when I do other sort of walking meditation, which is sort of full awareness. So I appreciate it. It's almost like being able to do different types of walking meditation as well. So thank you.
Well, there's
that.
So many different types, and I've reviewed a lot that's online, and I've practiced a few of them, and there's a couple I do, but I find if you're teaching someone something, that particular one, I think it's because it's got pictures. I'm attracted to anything that's got pictures, you know. But there's pictures in this meditation. And if you, when I'm on retreat, I always have that booklet. I go through it, but I have that booklet so people can check. I think it's quite an easy resource to learn how to do that. That's my feeling. Thank you,
Cheryl. Very helpful. Thank you. Thanks.
Lynn?
I just wanted to add something to both what Zoe and Sherry have said, because I tried playing around with speed just out of curiosity, speeding up and slowing down my walking. And it was interesting. I realized the faster I got, the more excited my brain got. So, you know, I felt it really illustrated the connections between body and mind. Yeah. So like normally I'm dashing around during the day and my brain's going as well. And slowing down my walking really did make it easier to...
And if you walk too fast, you skip a lot of the awarenesses you should be aware. You're kind of, it's more an awareness of step to step to step. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that, but you could do it fuller, you know, much more full.
No, I prefer going more slowly.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Dan?
Hi, Mary.
Hiya.
I actually did the, as a meditation, I did the impermanence meditation.
Uh-huh.
But when I took the dog for a walk afterwards, I took the dog to the fields and I took my shoes off and just did very slow walking on the fields just with my feet on the grass. And that was really nice. I was just concentrating on my feet, just moving on the grass, having to keep a bit of an eye on the dog at the same time, which is why I didn't just use that as the meditation. But it was really nice. I loved it.
Awareness. This is the thing. One of the results of being aware is a kind of joy. It's linked quite closely to a situation called bliss. It's not bliss, but it's on that trajectory. See, it's not the walking that's giving you bliss. It's not the walking that's making you happy, really. It's the awareness of the walking. It's touching that part of your mind, that positive aspect of your Buddha nature that is already joyful. No one has to give you that joy. You already have it. But you need to identify it, you need to link to it, and then maybe develop it. It's interesting. And what's the conduit to that? It's awareness. Awareness is the conduit. That's the thing. If you can do this, the situations that's going on around you, how you're feeling, everything like that, you start to change your reliance from external things making you happy, which that's hard to do, it's hard to change, and turning towards internal things that make you happy. And what's that? It's only about being aware of what's going on. Heightened awareness of whatever you're doing. And this is what Thich Nhat Hanh teaches. I mean, he's not my teacher, but I've benefited from, I did it once, and he was teaching you how to eat an orange, and we were all given segments of oranges. And I thought to myself, oh, for goodness sake, you know, eating an orange. It's not even my favorite fruit, you know. And he was going to do this meditation on how to eat an orange mindfully. And I didn't start off with the Venmo meditation, but I tell you, I have never tasted anything so beautiful, anything so sweet, anything so pleasing. And that's from someone that doesn't even like oranges. What was it? What made the difference? Focused, aware of what you're doing. You become the own author of your happiness if you can heighten your awareness. Anyway. So they tell me, I'm still working on it, but so they tell me. And you don't need people to tell you that. People can point it out to you, but you just have to try it. And it'll be simple things like taking the dog for a walk, putting your feet onto the grass. I mean, what brought that joy? It wasn't the grass. You've walked on the grass before. It wasn't the dog. It wasn't being outside. What was the difference? Love it. And in this life, much better to be happy than sad, I've always thought.
Thank you.
If you've got a choice. Anyone else? Thank you for that. Anyone else? Okay. All right. So if you could have a pen and paper. Oh, hi, Merv. I haven't seen you before. Hi. Did you want to say something?
Yes. Quickly to say, walking meditations. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Let me do this, actually. So much better. Can you hear me better now?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there we go. So walking meditation, what I've done, two things. I go to nature because I combine it something called forest bathing. They do this a lot in Scandinavia and in Japan. You know, so basically you talked about all the, you know, like the effect of stress, you know, that we are constantly in fight or flight mode. So walking meditation, actually in nature, it is so highly effective because you are doing this, what I call it's called forest bathing, but you are completely aware everything what's happening, but also you can go so much better inside of you, you know, and really observe much, much better all your, you know, emotions that come up and everything. So I find it really, it particularly when we do it in groups, we look like a group of zombies because everybody's
yes, little, you know,
so everybody's just like, what are they doing? You know, it looks really weird, but you know, everybody says that particularly in a group. So if anybody in this group has a possibility to do with group of people, it is so highly effective. It's just, you know, a little comment I wanted to make.
Thank you. And of course it is. Doing anything like that in nature is effective. So whenever you get the opportunity, this is good. However, what your aim is, really, is to be able to do this in any situation. So if you're living in a flat with no access, you haven't got access, because one of the things about nature is it satisfies your senses. See, we live in a world where our senses are outside. It's the type of world we live in, you know, the sensory world. So it's things that we see, eat, touch, taste, smell, all of that. And that's what our attention is attracted to. And so in meditation, what you're trying to do is to calm that down. Not block it out, but calm it down. Reduce the power that you normally give to the five senses. One of the ways to do this is to satisfy your five senses. Be in a room with a nice altar, with a lovely tanka, with a picture of your teacher. Calm walls, no noise. That works. But being out in nature, this does it even quicker. Because who doesn't like it? You know, it's everything. So, but all it's doing really, this is my feeling. I don't think it's given us anything extra apart from satisfying the senses. And when the senses are satisfied, the energy we normally give, it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't dissipate. What it does is it gathers and moves towards the heart. And it energizes mental consciousness. And so your mental consciousness that wasn't really aware of anything very much, because you've reduced that power to the five senses, your mental consciousness now is front and center. And anything that you can do to get your mental consciousness front and center, anything that you can do to reduce the power of the five senses is very, very beneficial. And like you, being out in nature does it. But for all of those who don't live out in nature, there are other things. So find the processes behind it, because what is behind it is not the nature. Nature is helping, but other things can help. If you understand what you're doing, you're satisfying the five senses, so you're no longer grasping onto anything. And you can gently close your eyes because, you know, there's a nice smell in the room, lovely things around you. If you're hearing nothing, that's good. If you're hearing gentle mantras, that's very good. If you're sitting on a comfortable seat, you can just go into yourself then. Everything else is satisfied. Everything else is satisfied. And that power that you normally give externally you harness it, and your mind, woo, like osmosis, woo. And so when you start meditating, its mental consciousness now is front and center, not being bombarded by five senses. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, Diane?
I think there is, for me, there is something about going out into nature. And I go to the woods a lot, again, with my dog. And it, I find it helps me to think about impermanence when I'm in the woods. Because do you see the changes and the leaves on the floor and the trees that are broken down? And it, I often think about impermanence when I'm actually in the woods.
Yes. No, nature, nature is, if you can, for me, if I can get out in nature for any length of time, it's beneficial. I'm not saying it's not beneficial. I'm just worried sometimes that many people don't have access to all of that.
Yeah.
If you understand what's happening, you can create that within quite a closed environment. I mean, before I came to sit down here, I'm in my garden weeding. If I can get out and I can see the flowers and I can see the birds and various other animals that seem to like my garden, you know, I'm just... And so when my alarm goes off that it's time to teach, I have to come running in, take off my gloves and my gardening stuff. So I'm with you. If I could, the more I could get out in nature, the better. Yeah. But you have to understand why.
Yeah.
If you understand why. And when I mean why, I don't mean just because it's good for you. I mean a rationale behind it. Then you can create that. When you can't, what happens if you're sick? Even if you're living near the country and you can't get out of bed. Does that mean you can't do good meditations? No. Because if you understand the process, you create it there. So if you can get out to, I'm all for that. I'm all for that. But I suppose I'm more for understanding the rationale behind it and creating that wherever I am. Okay, so thank you for that. If you've got access to pen and paper, that would be helpful at the moment. We're going to do a series of four short meditations. There'll be a break for you to stretch after two of the short meditations. So we'll do two short meditations, the if movement, get yourself relaxed, and then a further two. After each meditation, I would like you just to make a few notes on how that meditation affected you, or not. So there'll be time for that. Each meditation is quite short. Then I'll ask you to make some notes. How it's affecting you. How did it affect you in your meditation? What was your awareness? We'll do two of those, then a break, then another two. And after that, we'll go into groups so that you can share. Okay, so that's what we're doing. So have pen and paper to hand. Please employ a relaxation and strong positive motivation in your own time. So turning your mind inward. Paying attention to how your whole breath is affecting your body. It doesn't matter if your breath is fast or slow, deep or shallow, short or long. It doesn't matter. Simply breathe normally and notice the full breath. The beginning of the breath, the middle, the end of the breath, any pauses in between, and when the breath stops again. So you've drawn your mind inward, you're looking at how your body's responding, but your awareness is for the full length of the breath, gently. Staying with the full inhalation and the full exhalation. Now, recall negative energy you may have, past mistakes, wrong concepts, negative emotion, harm you may have caused others. Imagine that as being black smoke in your body. On each natural out-breath, imagine all these past mistakes leaving the body on the out-breath, naturally. And see these past mistakes as black smoke. And as you breathe this out, it's not hanging around you. It goes into deep space and disappears. Do that for quite a few breaths, and then feel that you're totally free of that negative energy. After a while, you feel you're totally free of every trace. When you've reached that stage, hold that stably, that total freedom. So once more, the negative energy in your body in the form of black smoke. Naturally, on each out-breath, you breathe out this black smoke into deep space where it disappears. And you keep doing that until you feel you're totally free of every trace. When that's the case, stop all visualization, stop all the internal thought, focus on the freedom, gently hold it with your mind in your own time. And when you're ready, you imagine now on the in-breath that all the positive energy in the universe enters your body in the form of pure, radiant, liquid, white light. And as you continue to breathe in, this light flows to every part of your body, every cell, every atom. You feel so relaxed, light and blissful. And when that's at its optimum, focus on that. This positive light can be the light of the Buddha, the light of your Buddha and your teacher, or it could be universal energy, but it's not you, it's coming from outside you. It flows in naturally as you breathe in, white, brilliant, radiant liquid. It fills every part of your body, every cell, every atom. You are so light, blissful, relaxed, let everything go. Stabilize that with your mind. Finish with a brief dedication. Then make some notes on your experience. It doesn't have to be anything in depth, but just make a few pointers. Just another 2 minutes. Finishing off. So, thank you. Now, many of you before will have done the 9-round breathing. With this other meditation, this is simple purification meditation, you can imagine when you can use that. It's very powerful in many different ways. This particular meditation can be taught on many different levels. This is a very simple way of dealing with it. Very simple and quite effective. So many of you have done the 9-round meditation, 9-round breathing meditation. And it's an extremely powerful meditation to do to calm the mind, especially discursive thoughts. Done well and done in full, this particular meditation is often used before any meditation on the mind, and also done well prior to tantric teachings and tantric meditations. So this is a powerful meditation. The way I'm going to describe it now is quite a simple way of doing it, but be aware that as time goes on, you'll add to it and it will become deeper. There's quite involved ways of learning this, but you need to know this part. This is the structure. This is the bare bones of it, but very effective. So please arrange your posture. Maybe a simple motivation. The beginning of this is highly analytical. So I'd like you to imagine or visualize a central channel. Perhaps like a drinking straw from the crown of your head down through your body in a straight line, all the way down to 4 finger widths below your navel. Now, this central channel is not close to the skin. It's very close to your spine, but not touching. Now it's in a straight line from your crown, but imagine now it's extended until between your eyebrows, the third eye. And so it's like as if you're looking at an umbrella, the hook of the umbrella from between your eyes, up the forehead to the crown, down through the body, in front of but not touching the spine, ending 4 finger widths below the navel. If you've got good visualization, that's good. If not, just imagine. Now imagine 2 side channels. They run quite close, but not touching the central channel. And they begin at the entrance to both nostrils, just inside both nostrils. And they follow the line of the central channel, close but not touching, all the way down in front of the spine, not touching. It also ends 4 finger widths below the navel. But imagine for the purpose of this meditation that they join the central channel. So you have these 3 channels. This is called 9-round breathing because there are 3 sets of 3 breaths. So what I'm going to ask you to do, and I will talk you through it, is you will breathe in through your right nostril, and you can imagine that air going down that side channel, crossing over to the left channel, coming up the left, and the breath as you breathe out coming out of the nostril. Please don't worry if you're not used to this. Just imagine it comes into your right nostril, goes out of your left. You do that 3 times. Then you do 3 breaths the other way. In through your left nostril, out through your right nostril. That makes 6 breaths. And the last 3 breaths, you breathe in through both nostrils, imagine. And you breathe out through the 3rd eye. So I'm going to talk you through it slowly. I'll give you a break in between each 3 breaths. Don't worry if you get confused. If you know how to do this, then no problem. It can help to have what's called a Vajra fist. So if you can look now, thumb, if you want to do this, thumb going towards the little finger. 3 fingers covering the thumb. And then if you're breathing in through your right nostril, you block. So you're breathing in. You're breathing out. You're breathing in. You're breathing out. You're breathing in. You're breathing out. And then there's going to be a short break. And then you just reverse that by blocking your right nostril, breathing in, breathing out. And you do that 3 times. And the last 3 breaths, you just imagine it going in through both nostrils and then out. Now there's a lot in this. If this is confusing you, leave it. Practice when we're not doing it. Don't worry. Just imagine that it's going in the nostrils. If this helps you, do that. So please, once more, just relax the body. And just become aware of your natural breath at the entrance to both nostrils. Just put your attention there. So I'm going to ask you to do 3 breaths, and here's what you'll do. In your own time, you'll breathe in. Imagine you're breathing in through your right nostril. And you breathe out through your left. But what is leaving your left nostril is black smoke going into deep space, disappearing. And this black smoke represents all your attachment energy. So you're breathing in. It can help to think of breathing in white light, see how that feels with you. But you're breathing in through your right nostril. And you're breathing out through your left nostril, and you visualize black smoke coming out, disappearing into space, and that represents all your attachment energy. Very simple. Keep it simple. Keep it straightforward. Do that 3 times in your own time. when you finish, keeping your mind inward, see if you can feel any difference. You don't have to, but just see. If you can feel any difference in your mind or your body, just be aware to any change. And in a moment, you'll do another three breaths, but this time it will be in through your left nostril. Breathing in can be helpful to breathe in the white light of the blessings of the Buddha. If you're not into that, then bright universal energy. Breathing in through your left nostril. Breathing out the black smoke through your right nostril. And this time, the black smoke is all your anger type energy. This black smoke, all your anger type energy going into deep space, disappearing. So once more, blocking the left nostril, the right nostril, breathing in through the, breathing in through the left nostril, the white light, if that helps. And as you breathe out through your right, the black smoke that you're breathing out represents all your anger related energy. Do that three times. And then sit quietly for a few seconds and see if you can notice any change in your own time. And in the last three breaths, you'll be breathing in through both nostrils, the white light. And as you breathe out through third eye, and it goes deep into space, disappears, you're breathing out ignorance energy. And by that I mean misunderstanding of nature, of reality. Yes. You're breathing out unawareness of how things really are. That's what's designated as ignorance. A misknowing of how things are. So you breathe that out through your third eye, going deep into space, disappearing. So breathing in the white light through both nostrils. And as you breathe out, imagine it coming through the third eye as black smoke, containing all this ignorance energy, this misknowing of reality. Not seeing things clearly, disappearing into space. When you've done that, sit with it. See how it feels in your own time. And in a few moments,
in your own time, do the whole 9 rounds. Starting with breathing in through your right nostril, breathing out the attachment energy through your left nostril. So in through the right, out of the left, attachment energy. Do that 3 times. Give yourself a little break if you need it. And then you reverse it. Breathing in through the right, in through the left, out through the right. Getting rid of the black smoke of your anger type energy. In the form of black smoke. And when you're ready, the last 3 breaths through both nostrils, then out through the third eye, the black smoke of ignorance. Just give it a go. Don't worry if it's confusing. In through the right, out through the left with attachment. In through the left, out through the right, anger. In through both nostrils, out through the third eye, ignorant energy. Give it a go in your own time. You're ready, making a few notes on your experience of this. When you've done that, take a bit of a break, stretch, move around,
Okay. So, any meditations involving central channel or channel working, they're actually can be quite powerful and can bring sometimes very quick results. So this is why Tantra is said to be quite effective, very effective actually. But we can use some of these channel workings without doing Tantra. And certainly Lama Yeshe, way back in the 70s, was teaching very new people these exercises because he thought that for this type of the life we live, some central channel exercises are very powerful, even if you're not doing Tantra. And I know at the time, it was unusual for Lamas to teach these types of meditation, anything to do with central channel, unless you'd had very specific teachings. But Lama Yeshe very clearly said it was very beneficial for Western mind. So he taught it quite quickly. And so the next two very short meditations, you'll be glad to hear, these can deal quite quickly with the excited mind or the dull mind. It could be quite a quick remedy. So let's see if that's true. So checking your posture. Your motivation, making that clear. Reimagining that central channel. From the third eye, traveling up, round by the crown, down through the body, just in front, but not touching the spine, all the way down to four finger widths below the navel. And if you're sitting with your hands in your lap, with your left hand supporting the right and the thumbs together and you pull it in, usually your thumb is in the right position. So if you give your belly a bit of a scratch, it can bring the mind right down to the right place. And so now you're imagining a small seed, a very small seed, like a sesame seed, sitting in the central channel, four finger widths below the navel. This seed is small, but it's heavy. Giving yourself a little scratch in that area will be quite helpful. The top part of this seed is white. And the bottom half of the seed is red. Keeping your posture straight and half closing your eyes, reducing the light a little. Focus clearly on that seed. And as you're focusing, you start off focusing as if you're up here at a distance looking down at the seed. But actually, as you breathe, bring your awareness down, down, down until you're almost surrounding, you're almost become one with that seed. That's what you're aiming for. Keep the breathing natural. Remembering the central channel is not at your skin, it's just in front of your spine. this heavy seed, white and red, sitting in this central channel, forefinger width below the navel. And as you contemplate it, your awareness reaches down, and down, and down, until it surrounds, almost penetrates the seed. Seems to be no difference. Keep your shoulders relaxed, your back straight. Making a note of how this meditation makes you feel. Quite a few of you would prefer to stay here, I know. But this is just a learning situation. I understand. And for the last short meditation, checking your posture, linking into your motivation, visualizing the central channel. But this time, begin the central channel at the crown of your head. And at the crown of the head, it's the central channel is slightly open. So not the forehead now, starting at the crown, going down through the body, forefinger widths below the navel. And whereas the previous meditation is designed to calm an excited mind, this meditation is to wake up a dull, sleepy mind. So in the same place, forefinger widths below the navel, in the middle of the central channel, imagine a small seed. Don't worry about colors, just imagine a small seed. If it's comfortable for you, open your eyes slightly more than usual. And bring your attention to that seed. Go close. And try to penetrate it, because what you're aiming for is an understanding that that seed is your mind. Become aware. This is your mind. And in a moment, in your own time, to wake your mind up, you will imagine that this seed shoots up through the central channel, out through the crown of your head, deep into space, becoming one with the vastness of space. And you stay there. You're aware of your mind, as vast as space. Once more, you make your mind one with the seed in the central channel, forefinger widths below the navel. This is your mind. And when you're ready, like an arrow from a bow, you shoot that seed up through your central channel, out through the crown of your head, into deep space, where it splits open and merges with space. And you stay with that space-like mind in your own time. Nothing to stop you repeating that. When you've had some taste of that experience, make a few notes. in a few moments. I'll ask you to go into groups. My thought was, because there's four sets of notes, quite brief, but it might take a little longer, my thought was to have 20 minutes. If you don't mind, it would mean that you would finish at 12:05. Would that be okay for most people? Yeah? Good. Thank you. That's super. So you're going to go into groups. What's important is your experience of it. Now, I know there's one or two of these meditations you could have just stayed with that, right? But, you know, learning. What your experience of, how you could use it. Each one of those, the purification, the simple purification, the 9-round breathing, the small seed, white and red, at the navel to calm the mind, the shooting the seed through the central channel into deep space to wake up a bit of a dull, sleepy mind. Please discuss this and your experience of it. That should finish about 12:05. If you're okay with that. And I'll see you again at 2:00.